we're delighted to have Lisa Marmion from Women's Aid Dundalk. Lisa, you're very welcome to the show. How are you keeping?
Great, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having us.
No problem at all. So, let's get down to brass tacks. Women's Aid Dundalk, it's a... We give us some of the background to the to what you provide and what you do.
Okay, well, we're an organisation that provides a range of services for women and children who are experiencing abuse. So that those services vary from refuge to supported housing, outreach and education, a drop-in court service, a very comprehensive child support project that works directly with children. We also have a 24-hour, 365 days a year helpline. So it's a 24-hour service that responds in various ways to the needs of women and children.
Okay, so basically what you're dealing with sort of women and children who are in possibly dangerous circumstances or distressing circumstances, and you're giving them full support.
Very much so.
It's a very tough station as such. I'd say, you know, there's probably some hard cases there, as tough cases as well.
It can be very, very challenging work, and it changes all the time, and each family has different needs, and you know, so it's important to keep current with the practice and the research
and,
as well,
and especially sort of you know, if you have children involved there for schooling and sort of for their education, but for family life as well. So do you provide all the support for that, is it?
Yeah, well, particularly if a family come to refuge and they're locally based and the children are in school locally, we're very lucky in the sense of the education and welfare officer will help us get children placed in schools in the interim until such times as they can go back to their own school.
Okay, and how many are working there at the moment?
Between all parts of the service, there's almost 40 of us.
Is there?
Yeah.
So that takes there must be a bit of a budget there to run to run the whole service.
Well, I would say that our organisation is very creative in that the issue of domestic violence affects so many different government departments that we will try our best to access anywhere we can for funding for the particular aspects. Like, say, for example, the court-based service, we would get funding from the Commission for the Support of Victims of Crime.
Okay.
You know, for some of our work with the children, we would access funding through Pubble. TUSLA is one of our main funders. We're very lucky as well that DSP fund our community employment scheme, which enables us to continue working frontline with women and children. So there's many and very different funders for different parts.
So if the women go to your place, right, and then they're there and there's domestic violence in the house and they come to your refuge, do you have to be, you know, the kids are there as well, so the kids have to get education as well. So what happens there? Do you take the children to the school, or how does that work? Like,
well, it varies depending on the needs. Ideally, if children can continue to go to the school that they've been to, if there aren't any safety concerns, ideally, just in the interest of keeping a normal sense of
normality.
But if needs be, children are placed, if they're coming from out of town, they may be placed in one of our local schools by the education and welfare officer. We're also a registered preschool as well, which enables us to work directly with children, because one of the big impacts of domestic violence is education and how that's very much affected, particularly if a family have to leave their home under the circumstances that we see every day. They may miss this time from school. You know, it's very difficult for people to resume school then, maybe in a different school, and particularly adolescents can be very conscious of how others feel about them, so that can sometimes impact on how they feel even about education.
And Lisa, for a woman finding herself in that position, you know, if it's domestic violence, etc., it's a very lonely time for that person and for her and her family. But I'm looking at some of the literature you talk in there, and there's a support group that must be very important to anybody who's partaken in, you know, the services from Women's Aid, that they have, they're not alone, that they're not the only one, that there are other people involved in this.
Very much. We would find that the issue of domestic violence is an issue that thrives on secrecy. So we might have families coming to us and they may not be aware in their own community of other people who are experiencing this. And in some way, they might feel that they're the only ones, yeah, because it is. And, you know,
actually, the warning, there is warning signs for the onset of domestic violence in the, you know, that, yeah, you can spot them, or people should be aware of the onset of if they're in a relationship that there is domestic violence. You know, there is warnings that you can give people warnings, say, like, the person is too manipulative or something else, or they're, you know, they won't let me go out or something else.
They've been bullied,
yeah.
Is there
warning signs that she would tell people of or whatever?
Well, I think with the benefit of distance from a situation, it's a lot easier to see difficulties as they might be arising. But, you know, I'm very conscious of when people are in relationships and they've made commitments and they really want to maybe spend the rest of their lives, that they've made commitments, yeah, they've maybe, yeah, have children, yeah, they are going to look for the most positive way. And, like, the women and the children we work with always hope for a better day. They always hope that it will get better. And that holds people in situations very much. That, the secrecy, sometimes the fear around that they may not be believed, and, like, the very real experience of where do people go and, yeah, how do they resort that? Because there are so many barriers.
And I'm sure one of the things is maybe people are a bit embarrassed or whatever, mm, or I failed in this, you know, and it must be very, very difficult, you know, for any of the ladies there, you know, with their families or even just with themselves.
Absolutely, yeah. We would work with families that have been very much told that this is their fault. If they had have done things differently, it would have been different. Whereas we know, anybody that knows about the issue knows that this is actually very much part of the experience. Undermining of confidence, you know, self-esteem. When self-esteem is low, people will believe most things that they're told, particularly if they're told often enough. So by the time people contact our service, you know, confidence can be an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, as you mentioned there, Declan, of being and feeling isolated. And
Well, that's, yeah, as I said, I'm looking at some of the services that you offer, and it's very interesting. Do you have a website that people, yes, could look at what services?
Yes, we have a website. It's www.womensaiddundalk.ie.net.
Yeah. We're not trying to catch, yeah, you. It's something, you know, we kind of, I think a lot of people would know sort of Women's Aid is there to help sort of, you know, women and children in situations where, you know, it's like crisis accommodation or helplines or one-to-one support. But when I look down at all the support that you do give people women in that situation, like there's an enormous amount, and that's what I'm saying, that people really should be aware of the services that's provided. It seems to be very comprehensive.
Yeah.
There, it's one of the things, education and training. And that probably is kind of rebuilding sort of people's, you know, their lives, their confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be that, but it can also be supporting other agencies that work directly and members of the public that have come in contact and want to support their own loved ones, because understanding the issue is very much part of being able to support somebody. One of the more recent developments for us, we've been part of a group that have developed an accredited training program specifically on domestic violence with DKIT, and that's the first in Ireland, so yes, that's very exciting for us, because it is an issue that sometimes goes between different issues. You know, it's so broad, it's so complicated, it's related to so many other social issues as well, that we're delighted that
sorry for cutting across, but there's a stat here that says 1 in 5, right? I think Dublin, Women's Aid Dublin ran this thing back in about 2 years ago. Is that what the stats are? Is 1 in 5 in a relationship, or is that what that meant?
Yes, well, closer to 1 in 4. The most recent study that we would work to would be the Fundamental Rights Agency, because it's taken research from across Europe to get a sense of how prevalent the issue is, and it's coming up with it's even more prevalent than one in five. So that's
so it's the same as sexual, like the one in four is the Colm O'Gorman charity. So yes, it's the same sort of thing.
You see, those issues are very prevalent, and because they're something that we don't often speak about in the public domain, you know, they remain very quiet.
Mm. Yeah, and to just explain about the workshops as well, Lisa. Just you said that earlier about the workshops, the outreach programs. What is that?
What
does it entail?
It varies. We very much tailor our work depending on the group and what they need, what their needs are and what level that they want to understand the issue. So, like, say, for example, in our induction, like our basic induction training that we would offer to potential volunteers and just interested people, we would explain the organisation, the ethos, the policies, procedures, the structures, before we would get into the dynamics of abuse and how complicated it is, and then the impact. And very much the impact for children as well, which is a research area that's up and coming. It's, you know, our understanding of how domestic violence impacts children is growing by the day. And we're trying to reflect that in our organisation with a growing child support project that's specifically for children.
Yeah, it's quite eye-opening here when I'm listening to you talking there, Lisa, you know, because a lot of the stuff we know sort of some of the bones and the basics of what Women's Aid do, but the amount of cover there, the amount of support that you give. One thing there in relation to, and this is sort of the legal side of it, where maybe a restraining order has to be got, or, you know, there's protection nearly needed in a violent situation. Do you deal with that? Is that part of your remit?
Well, we are a court-based presence in Dundalk Court, so we actually have a designated room on family law days where women who are seeking additional protection are referred to our court accompaniment worker, and our court accompaniment worker will help them fill in their information and offer follow-on supports if necessary, provide accompaniment if necessary, provide referral pathways for children that may have been involved in that family. So it's a really exciting development for us, in the sense of, in that particular moment when people can be very vulnerable, because one of the main danger areas is when people are seeking additional help. People often think that when a relationship's coming to an end or ending, that that's the end of abuse. It actually might just be the beginning. So that's a particularly vulnerable time in that relationship. So we're really glad to be a presence there for people to come and have support and then follow on support if needed.
I'd say there's many a woman that you've saved and sort of rebuilt, you know, over the years, if you've been through all the people who've been through sort of through your agency. To run the agency, you need, number one, you need the workers there, you need the support, but you also need money, and you get your funding from various different things. Do you do any other fundraising, or do you have you tried any of that to raise additional funds?
Music gigs or anything like that?
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, we are very, very, very lucky. We can't say enough about the support that we get for the things that we don't have a budget for and the things that we dream of. Like, for example, our next move into a much bigger building, because day on day we're unfortunately refusing families, we don't have enough room. But one of the most recent events was the most fantastic event in the Spirit Store Sunday just gone by. So there were a number of local and not so local,
international
indeed.
Who was playing?
There was
Glenn Hansard
would have been the headline act, but there was so much talent playing from about 4 o'clock that day until, I'd say, roughly, I think it was about two when it finished up.
Mick Flannery wasn't at it, was he? That wasn't, because my daughter was at something in the spirits, but he wasn't. Mick, no.
No, I don't think so. But there was Glenn Hansard and two members of the Frames. There was Lisa O'Neill. There was local local singers and performers. There were David Keenan, Ollie Cole, Sophie Coyle, Finian Murray.
And all giving their time for free.
Oh, I mean, that's what's...
Third Smoke as well.
Third Smoke were just amazing. Absolutely.
It did very well.
The talent was just... It was very moving for us as an organisation to be there to see people giving up their time on a bank holiday and to speak so beautifully about the issue. We're so used to people not wanting to talk about it. That there we are, we're in a room full of people that were cheering and speaking about the issue, and very, and that's the kind of thing we need to move this issue forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, people need to speak out, and state, and this is what we do. This is the sport that's there.
Definitely,
it's the silence is the problem.
It very much is, you know. And
so, your telephone number, Lisa. You just said you do.
You're there, but it's 042 93 33244.